Okay, good. So, first, some administrative details. The TA's office hours are, the TA has posted his office hours and was complaining that not enough people came by the other day. Okay, so now you guys should know to come by. His name, he's Peng Du, okay, is his name. His office hours are Monday and Wednesday, from 1:30 till 3 p.m. in 2110 CS. Okay? A phone number that works for him is 216-2371. And his email address is pedu, P-E-D-U, at cs.sunysb.edu. Okay? So if you have questions, I encourage you to talk with him about it. My office hours are after class each day, but his office hours are on different days, which are helpful. And sometimes, and you should feel free to go talk to him about homework problems and things like that. Any questions? Okay. Any other administrative or bureaucratic questions? How many people are still looking for partners to do the homeworks with? If so, stand up. All the people who are looking for partners, stand up. Everybody who is not looking for a partner, sit down. Okay? So you two, have you made it? Look to him. Look back there. No. Get each other's name and call together and do that now. And you're still looking, right? Anybody else? You're looking for a partner? Then go back over to that guy who's standing up. Okay? And get names and stuff like this. Okay? So I set you up with partners. Hopefully it will work out well. It's the beginning of a long relationship. If not, just dissolve and don't do the next homework together. We'll find another partner. I don't want to hear what kind of a louse your partner is. Okay? That's just not interesting to me. Any questions? Okay? Fair enough.
Okay, any questions about last class's material? We should talk about the big O notation. Okay? And the problem of the day today is the following. It says that you are given, it says, find two functions, f of n and g of n, that satisfy the following relationship if they exist. Okay? And last class we talked about big O, big theta, and big omega. Okay? And what were they? Let's just sort of review that, because that's the critical thing. We agree that the big O function, we know that f of n is big O of g of n. What does that stand for? Upper bound, lower bound? Type bound. Upper bound. What does that mean? That means the right side is bigger than this side, right? Well, right now it says big O, it says this big O. Okay, that's a big question. What do I mean by big O and little O? We'll deal with that soon. This is a big O. Okay, what does big O mean? It means what? That f sub n is less than or equal to some c times g of n. Isn't that what it means? How many people agree with that? Okay, how many people don't agree with that? Any questions? What was the other one? So that's the big O definition. What is the omega definition? Is that upper bound, lower bound, or tight bound? Okay, what does this mean? Lower bound. What does that mean? That tells me that f sub n is at least as big as c times g of n for some c. Does everyone agree with that? And the other one was what? F sub n was theta of g of n. And what I think of that as meaning is that basically f sub n is big O of n, of g of n. And g of n f sub n is also omega of g of n. Okay? Those are the three definitions we gave last time. Any questions about those? Okay? So, now,
the problem has something here about a lowercase o. Okay? And there's two ways we could have read that, right, when you look at it on the print. One possibility is he must have made a mistake and he meant the big O. Okay? The other is that there's another way of, another function I didn't quite tell you about. So let's work out the program for both of these cases. Okay? So another bounding constraint is the little o notation. And we say that S sub n equals little o of n of f of g of n. What that means, that implies somehow that f sub n is big O of g of n, but not theta of n of g of n. Okay? So what is the difference between big O and little o? Well, the main thing is the O is bigger. Okay? That's the way to think about it. Okay? Big O says that F sub n is this big or smaller, right? Isn't that what the upper bound notion means? If F sub n is less than or equal to this, that's basically what big O means. Okay? Little o means that it's basically, instead of less than, we can think of it as being less than, instead of less than or equal to. Okay? So it's a function that's strictly smaller than this. Okay? So it means an upper bound that is a real upper bound and not an exact bound. Any questions about that? Okay? That may seem confusing for now, but let's go through the example and the homework both ways and see if we understand it better. Any questions? Yes? Excuse me? The little o we're going to be talking about when we talk about dominance, which I'll talk about in a few minutes. So we'll ask me then if you're not happy with it. Okay? Any questions? Okay? So let's look at this example here. This problem is saying what to me? It is saying that there is a function. Is there a function f sub n such that it is o of g of n? And S sub n is not equal to theta of g of n. Okay?
Yes.
Well, first let's think about the case where we have big O, just since that's the one people are more familiar with, and we talked about that. Is there some function such that, that both of those are true? Okay, there are functions f of n and g of n? Well, what are they? Okay, someone give me an example. F of n. What's an F candidate F of n?
N squared.
N squared. And what is a candidate G of n? G of n is G n cubed. Okay, sorry. G sub n is equal to n cubed. Does that do the job? Well, is it true that F sub n is big O of is basically upper bounded by g of n? Yes, right? Does everybody agree there's a constant times n cubed such that n squared is less than that? Yeah, okay. Is it also true that f sub n is not theta of n? And the answer is yes, that's a good, certainly it's not true. Why? Because we know that if it was theta of n, what would theta of n mean? We would then need to be able to have the case that f sub n is equal to omega of g of n, right? If this was the case, then f sub n would be theta of n, right? Well, is this true? I don't know. Okay, I have to work it out because you have to do this slowly. What does this mean? This means that is it true that n squared is related to a constant times n squared cubed? What does this mean? What is this relationship? This is a lower bound, right? So it means that I've got to have it like this, right? Does the omega relationship imply, if f sub n was omega of g of n, doesn't that mean that the left side has to be bigger than the right side? So bigger than or equal to? Isn't that what it means by that? Or am I wrong? Okay, yeah? Okay, well, let's go to this side of the board and check it out.
Okay, because I get confused.
Okay? This says over here that this says that f of n, when it says that this is omega of this, the big O of this, this is the upper bound, right? That means that this side is bigger than that side, right? Right? Does everybody agree with that? Or how many people agree with that? How many people do not agree with it? I see several people shaking hands. Okay? Well, I'm saying this is an upper bound. Let's draw a picture. I like to think about this as a picture. When I'm saying here that what does upper bound mean? Okay, if this is f of n, where is my upper bound of f of n? Is it here or is it here? This is it, right? So if, let's say, g of n is an upper bound of f of n, what does that mean? G of n has to be bigger than f of n, right? So what does this mean? G of n is bigger than f of n. Big O. See, it's big O here. Well, this is, I'm not just dealing with big O. Let's just make sure we get big O straight, then let's get big omega straight, then let's get big theta straight. Okay? So we agree that I've got the sign right for big O. No, okay? Let's go through it again. That's a fair thing. This is supposed to be, this function is big O of that, if this is an upper bound of it. Right? Isn't this for the upper bound? Okay? Yeah? Okay. N cubed is upper, okay. Right. Well, okay, so what I'm saying here is that we're saying that this function is upper bounded by this function. That's probably the way to read it. Okay? It's good to thresh these things out. Okay? Do people read it this way now? That this is upper bounded by this, meaning this is the upper bound of this. Is that the same way? Okay, I'm not sure I'm saying something different. Okay, it's important. Fine. Okay, it's important to read. Now let's make sure we're all on the same page. This is the upper bound of this. That's what we're saying. And why is that? Well, that's shown by this. This is, g of n is bigger than this, right? And that's exactly what we want it to mean here. If g of n is an upper bound of f of n, g of n had better be bigger than f of n, right? So does everybody agree with this slab here? Now what about our omega slab? This is supposed to read lower bound, right? So is it true that if the way to think about it, if we mean that if this meant that g of n was an upper bound, if g of n is a lower bound, what does that mean? That means that g of n somehow sits below f of n, right? Is that what it means? For lower bound? So that means that f of n had better be bigger than g of n, right? And that's the way the arrow is going. Does everybody agree with that? Make sure you get these things straight, because I find this, you know, until you get used to working and talking about these things, it's very easy to get it backwards or to say the wrong thing or not know what you're talking about. Okay? But now that we agree on the definition, let's march over here. Is it true that f sub n is big O of g of n? Well, is it true for big O of g of n, what does that mean? That means if I go back and take a look, that means less than. Did we already do that one? Okay, so we proved it before, but now let's prove what the omega is. What is the right relationship between f sub n, if this is true? What is the relationship between f sub n and g of n? Which way does it go? Right? This is it. What? For big O or for big... What's this? Is this for big O or big omega? Okay. No, it's not. Okay. This is big O, right? This is the upper bound, right? As we have it now. Okay? And it isn't this expression down here. It says that this is bigger than that, right? That's upper bound. This is supposed to be lower bound, right? So this should be reversed. Is everybody clear? Does everybody agree with me now? That saying this is the same thing as saying that. Everybody agree that this is the definition? This is the definition of that. Does everybody agree? How many people agree? How many people don't agree? Okay. Question. Switch to a black marker.
I actually think I can do that.
Okay.
So let's try this.
Okay. Well, now is this true? Okay. What's f of n? N squared. Less than or greater than or equal to c times n cubed. Is this possible?
No.
Is there any c small enough that this is always going to be true other than zero? No. So we know that, in fact, for this particular example, this is not true. And this not being true makes that not true. So these particular functions will do the job. Yes? Or what? No, we're excluding zero, and probably we're also excluding negative numbers constant. One? If I said c equal one? Wait. So if I plug in c equals 1, is it true that n squared is greater than or equal to n cubed at the beginning there time? But there's sort of two constants we have in mind here. One is this constant c. The other is a constant n naught. And there's a for all n greater than n naught. So it doesn't mean strict upper and lower bound. Okay? But it means upper and lower bounds for a large enough integer. Okay? So we don't care about n equals 1, n equals 2. We're interested in upper and lower bounds for large numbers. Okay? And what happens for small numbers like 1, 2, a million, 10 million is unimportant to us. We want to know that in the limiting case, as n gets very, very large, that it's always an upper bound or always a lower bound. Okay? So the constants come in pairs. We want to say that it's true that this is greater than or equal to c times this for some c for all n greater than n naught. Okay? So to properly do this rigorously, you have to not only give me a c, you have to tell me what value of n is large enough so that it's always true beyond that. Okay? Any questions? Saying it was true at n equals 1 is uninteresting because for larger values of 1, 2, okay, you're already behind. Okay? Any questions?
So when you're trying to prove there's an all relation, then you have to give the constant c at some time with n.
Exactly right. So really the real way to prove a big O relationship is you have to show me that f sub n is equal to big O of g of n. You must show me a c and an n zero such that, okay, f sub n is less than or equal to c times g, okay, of n for all n equals, all n greater than or equal to n naught. Okay? Any questions? Okay? Suppose we think of a function that looks like this. Okay, let's say that for f of 1 equals 1 million. Okay, and f of, I is equal to I. Okay, for I greater than or equal to 2. Maybe it's a payoff from some internet stock. The first year we've got an incredibly large payoff. Okay, but every year from then on it's slowly increasing. Okay? When you ask what is the rate of growth of this function, the rate of growth of the function the first year is in some sense irrelevant in the big picture, isn't it? Okay, you've got $1 million a year for the first 10 years. You know, the long-term picture is what's governed by what happens to largesse. Okay? And that's why the definition, we are ignoring the small terms here. Any questions? Okay? So the whole notion of big O is a notion of asymptotics. We're worried about what happens for largesse. We want to make the prediction when I'm comparing two algorithms. Let's say I have one algorithm that is order n cubed, and I have another algorithm that is n squared for the same problem. Let's say it's theta, so in fact the algorithms, the analysis is tight. Let's say that this is for, let's compare it with sorting. Okay? In sorting, as you may know, there's an n log n algorithm and there's n squared algorithm. Let's say this is quick sort, or let's say this is merge sort, let's say this is insertion sort. Which one is faster for arrays of size 10? If I know that one algorithm is theta of n log n and one is theta of n squared. Which one is faster for algorithms of size 10, for inference of size 10? I have no idea, okay? Which is larger for number, for inputs of, more efficient for large n as n goes to infinity? Now I know this guy's gonna win, okay? But it's sort of like, which stock is going to pay me more in the long run? Okay, I have this one stock here that is growing as like this. Suppose I have another stock that is growing f of I equals I squared. Okay, what is the value of this g? What is g of 1 equal to? 1. G of 2 is equal to 4. Which stock is better off to own in the long term? We're going to have a higher price after. Okay, this one. But which is bigger at the time of one? I have no idea. There's no guarantee. Just because this is theta of n and this is theta of n squared. Asymptotics is holding for big what is happening for large n. And for small n, it's not making any promises. That anything below a constant, there's some constant below which it won't make any promise. But beyond that, it's making promises. Any questions? Okay. So in fact, the algorithm we talk about here, if you ask me how it will work on an input of size 10 or 100, I haven't got the foggiest idea. If you ask me how it will work on an input of size 1 million or 1 billion, I can tell you. Now usually, if it's good for a bit, you know, for a very large n, the crossover point where it will win is going to be fairly small. So it's not like we're understanding a theory that is ridiculous because it's only true for large n. To make it easy to think about, we're only going to be worried about what happens in the limiting case. Okay? That's why. Not because we're going to try to not do practical things, but because it's easier to worry about large cases than to worry about small cases, and the small cases will probably work out the same way. Any questions? Okay? Good. So what was the first problem? Is there an f of n such that it's O of that and O of that? The answer was yes. What about where f of n was strictly less than g of n? So now let's say that we had a little O here. Okay? Suppose that we now replace this by little o. Okay? Is this still true?
Yes.
What would be an f of n and g of n to do that? Same thing? Well, what do we need to show now? Is it true that f sub n is less than, okay, I have to use less than in a big term, g of n? Okay, but what is f of n? Because g of n is n cubed, n squared. Okay, basically, the real definition of little o, let me show you the real definition of little o. It's in terms of limits. Okay, so, but it's which people may get nervous about when they see. But we say that it's little o if the limit, as n goes to infinity, the ratio of the functions goes to zero. That's what we mean by little o. Okay? So So what is the ratio of G of N over F of N?
Here. Okay, F of N, N squared over N cubed. What is the limit of that as N goes to infinity? Zero. So the answer is yes, there's a little low dominance. What about if F sub N was equal to N squared and G of N was equal to 2N squared? What is the limit of F of N over G of N? Okay, what's the limit going to be? The ratio. 1/2. 1/2 zero? So, little o means that is not only that this is an upper bound, but it's not a closer exact upper bound. Okay? That's really what little o means. That it's growing strictly slower than. Okay? Any quick question? Yeah.
A lot faster than F.
Okay, so what do we say? Again, I like to write it as F of N equals a little o of G of N. Okay, just to keep my consistency going.
Then F N is growing a lot faster than
G. A lot slower than it. It's not growing the same. That's really what it's saying. We know if we had a big O, that meant that this is growing at least as fast as this. Right? Isn't that what big O means? That this is growing at least as fast as that. Little o means that this is growing strictly faster than that. Okay? What I will say is a lot, well, strictly and a lot faster in this limit sense. Meaning is 2n. Little o of n? The answer is no. Okay? Is n little o of 2 of n? 2n? No, they're growing with the same theta type bound. Okay? But, so even though there's a difference of a factor of 2 here, in the long run, maybe you might think it's a factor of 2 a lot. Well, not in the way we're keeping score here, but your salary is a lot, okay? But in the way we're keeping score here, we're worried about limits, yes?
Generally, it's 1 order of magnitude.
There's definitely a polynomial, at least a polynomial order of magnitude. So what would be an acceptable difference? Okay? Suppose we want to compare n to the 1.001 and n. Okay? Is this thing growing? What is the relationship between here? Does the big O relationship hold? Is this function big O of that? Yes. Is it little o of that? Well, what is the ratio of the limits? What's n? N is n to the 1. What is n to the 1 over n to the 0.001? 1.01, right? That's what I have here. What is that function? What is 1 divided by n to the 1.001? N to the minus 0.001, right? Or equivalently, 1 over n to the 0.001. For large values of n, does this go to 0? Yeah, it might take its time about it, but it's going to get there. Okay? The ratio goes to 0. Right. So this function goes to infinity, therefore the ratio goes to 0. Okay? Any questions? So certainly a small gap is any difference in the exponent is enough to produce domination. Right? Well, what else might produce domination? How does n log n compare to n? Is n big O of n log n? Well, is it?
again, I have a hard time way to compute this. Is there some constant C? Does it C times N log N is always going to beat N? Certainly if C is equal to 1, you get the log N as a bonus, right? N times log N is something that gets larger for as N increases. So certainly the big O relationship holds here, right? Does everybody agree with that? What about the little o? How would we prove that the little o holds? So what is N over N log N? 1 over log N. As N gets larger and larger, what's going to happen to this thing? It's going to go down to zero, right? Okay? So the answer, and so this should all be clear. The other thing that turns out to be true, that I don't want to really prove, but either you know it or you don't. N to the points 0000000001 happens to be greater than log N. So log N is smaller than any polynomial, okay? So this, in fact, is smaller than, you know, what I had said before, okay? Any questions? So, yeah?
So can you give an example of where big O and little o would be different?
Where big O and little o are different, okay? Let's try this one. So you want to say, you want to show you a pair of functions such that, to get rid of this example here, you want me to show you an example where f sub n is equal to big O of g of n, but f sub n is not equal to little o of g of n. Is that what you're asking for? Okay, does someone want to propose such functions? What is f of n? F of n equals n squared is probably better. Okay, than n squared, yes. 2 times n squared. That would certainly work. Why? Well, is f of n big O of g of n? Well, I have to do this because I'm not so good at it. N squared, less than or equal to c times 2 times n squared. Is there a constant such that that's going to be true? Yeah, I'd say a half is probably a good one, or anything bigger than a half. Okay, so this is certainly true. Now, is it true that this does not dominate that? Well, what is the ratio of f sub n over g of n? It's n squared over 2n squared, right? Which is only going to be a half, okay? It's not going down to zero. The reason is because these two are theta of each other, right? Does everybody agree that that's really because this is theta of that? And if you look at my preferred definition over here, I like to say f sub n equals little o of g of n if f sub n is big O of g of n, but not theta of g of n. Okay? That's what my definition is. Forget about limits. I have a hard time understanding limits. Okay? Any questions? Okay? Any questions about what this is? We're not going to be talking too much about little o this semester. But frankly, this is good exercise to make sure you understand this notation if you relate everything to big, you know, upper bounds and lower bounds and things like that. Any questions? Okay. So I claim we have worked out the first of these homework problems both ways. Does everybody agree? Okay. What about the second homework problem? What is the second homework problem asking? It is asking, is f sub n theta of g of n, and what? And f sub n equals little o of g of n. Is there any such function that can do that? Anybody give me pairs of functions? Okay. No one can give me one. No one give me a proof that there is not that there is no such thing. Yeah. Right. Okay. So if f sub n is little o of that, then it cannot be the case that the g of n is here. Right. So if you believe this
definition, then that's enough to disprove it.
Okay?
And I think that for those of you who like limits, you will agree that that definition is, in fact, the same as the limit definition we get. Right? Does everybody sort of believe that? So this, the answer is there is no way to do it. Okay? Yes? Well, by definition, if this definition, I mean, the short answer is I would accept these definitions. Okay? So accept those definitions, and that's good. And then you can just call the definition. Okay? That's acceptable. What if this was a big O instead of a little O? Can someone suggest functions that do the job? Or is this impossible? Yeah? What is that? F sub n equals n squared, and what's g of n? Well, I'll say n squared too. No reason to play games there. Okay? Is it true that f of n is theta of g of n? That I believe. Is it true that f of n is big O of the other one? That I believe. Okay? We can work out the constants if you don't believe it. Okay? Does anyone want me to work out the c and the n naught for this example? Okay? But if my back's to the wall, that's what I have to do to sort of make this rigorous. Any questions? Okay, so that we agree is relatively straightforward.
That case says there's no F of n is not equal to
n. In this case, what is this? In this case, F sub n also is. Certainly it's the case that F sub n is omega of g of n. In this example, does it have to always be true if this is true and that's true? Yeah, why? Because this means that it's big O and big omega, right? So that has to be true. Okay? Yes?
Would the function have to be equal?
Well, what do they mean by equal? Could they be 2n? What if I put in 2n squared here? Would that work if I have 1 is 2n squared and 1 is n squared? Okay? They are equal in a big O sense, okay, but they're not equal in the sense of the way you would usually grade it in algebra, okay? But this is sort of the point. We're going to be, in some sense, when we analyze the big O notation somehow breaks all the functions of the world into classes. All the things of the form Cn squared are all being lumped together, and all the things of the form Cn are being lumped together, okay? And we're now going to be comparing, is one function bigger than another? Namely, does it belong to a class that dominates the other class? Okay? And so we're reasoning only about these sort of big classes. Any questions? Okay? Let's keep going. What's the next one here? Okay? Yes? Yeah? What is the limit of log n as it approaches infinity? Okay, we'll talk more about log n, but what is the limit of log n as n approaches infinity? Okay? Well, what is log n? What is the log function? We'll talk about this in a minute, but I get confused about that. So what's the definition of log n? 2 to the log n base 2 is equal to n. Right? In general, what does it mean? B to the log base B of n equals n. Does everybody agree with that? That's the definition where logs come from? Okay? So what does that mean? How do we get what log is from here? Okay? How would we get from here to figure out to solve for the log n term? What is that? Well, okay, it's basically an inverse exponential here. So as n gets larger and larger, what has to happen to log n for this equation to be true? Suppose b is a constant. 2, okay, my favorite constant. Okay? Is the log base 2 of a million larger than the log base 2 of 2? It has to be, because you're raising it to a higher exponent, right? To get a bigger thing here, you have to raise it to a higher exponent, right? So we get an infinite number here. What does this number have to be? Okay? We agree it has to be infinite, right? So the answer is the limit does go to infinity. Okay? That's how I like to reason about these things. Any questions? Okay? But let's get back to our homework problem of the day. What does it say here? It says here, is F sub n equal to what? Theta g of n. And what? And S sub n is not equal to, is not big O of g of n. Is that what it's asking for? Is this possible? Why not? Convince me that it's not possible. Yeah? I can rewrite this as saying F sub n equals O of G of n, and S sub n is equal to omega of G of n. Right? So if I know this is true, this contradicts that, right? So it can't be done. Okay? Does anyone want to try? This was clearly a big O, so we're not going to play games with the big O, okay? What about the last example? It says, what if we know that F sub n is omega of Gn, and we know that F sub n is this? Are there pairs of functions with this property? Someone want to suggest to me an f of n and g of n that will do the job? Okay, yeah. What is what? What's f of a? Equals n squared. And what's g of a? N. Is this true? Well, let's take a look at that. Is n squared, how does it relate to n? Which way does this mean? This does not mean upper bound, this means lower bound. That means that this guy has to be at least as big as that, right? Okay, what does the omega mean again? Maybe I'm getting confused. But it means lower bound, right? That means that this is below that, right? That means that I've got to go like this. Okay, and is it clear that this is going to beat that? Yes, okay? Now, if that's true, is it clear that, on the other hand, f sub n, which is n squared, is not greater than or equal to, okay? The other way I need is an upper bound. Right? That's what the big O means? Okay? Is there some constant times n that this is going to beat that? No. Therefore, this has done the job. Right? Any questions about that? Okay? Again, once you get used to working with the notation, you know, it's not that complicated. But, you know, it takes time to get used to it. And if you're confused or at the beginning of starting to work with this, don't be afraid to write out the definition and write out the constants. Okay? That's what I do when I get confused. What people who don't do that do when they get confused is get the wrong answer. Okay? So I recommend writing out the definitions and thinking about it in terms of the definitions. And eventually, if you do that often enough, it'll start to be natural. Any questions? Okay? Good. So what are we doing here? Actually, let me show you, just to give a little bit more practice, because I think this is important to get straight. Let's look at some other past problems of the day that I had slides for. Okay, let's see if we can work through this. Okay? Is it true that, let's look at the first one. Is 2 to the n plus 1 big O of 2 to the n? Okay? First one, how do people say yes? How do people say no? I've got both yeses and noes. Okay, what? How do you work it out?
What do we do to prove the first one? Let's see, back, let's go to the first one here.
Is F to, 2 to the n plus 1
big O 2 to the n? I hear no's. Do I hear any yeses? Yeah?
If you factor out the plus 1, that's 2 times again.
Well, let's think what we do. I'm going to write this thing down because, again, I find this very confusing. Okay? Is it true that 2 to the n plus 1, say that that is equal to O of 2 to the n, means what? Means 2 to the n plus 1, how does it compare to C times 2 to the n? Which way does my comparison go? Okay, is this an upper bound of that? I believe that that's right. Okay, is this the right direction? So is there some constant such that this will always be true?
Sure.
What is that constant? Anything more than 2, right? Because this is what? 2 times 2 to the n plus n. Does everybody agree that's what 2 to the n plus 1 means? So that we know. Okay, any questions about that? Does everybody see why that's a big O? Okay. What about the second problem here? Okay. Is 2 to the 2n, how does that, is that big O of 2 to the n? Okay. How do we prove it? Okay. Okay, so maybe I want to think about it for a second. But what is the first step? Yeah? What is the first step, big picture, as to how I would answer this question? Why am I going to do this S? How do people think it is? How do people think it's not? Okay, well, it must not be, because everybody says so. But another way to do it would be you go to the definition. Okay, what am I saying here? Is it true that 2? If it is true, that means that 2 to the 2n is what? Compared to the comparator C times 2 to the n. Is it bigger or littler? Okay? This is supposed to be an upper bound of that. That's what it's asking, right? Is that true? Well, yeah. 2n times 2n. Does everybody agree that 2 to the 2n is equal to 2 to the n times 2 to the n? What good does that do me? Now I cancel it, right? That's what you're trying to say. And now, is there a constant that is greater than 2 to the n? No, can't. Okay? So the answer is there is not a big O relationship here. Does everybody agree with that? Okay? And again, if you work with this calmly and go back to the definition, you can't go wrong. Okay?
You make a guess, you're making a guess. Okay? And until you get good at it, your guesses will be wrong. Any questions? Okay? Good. Let's try one other example while we're on the roll. I think this is actually worth making sure people get down. Let's prove that it says for any real constants,
A and B, where B is greater than 0, and let's say A is greater than 0 just to be simple. Well, we can worry about whether A is greater than 0 or not. Is it true that N plus A to the B is theta of N to the B? Okay? Let's think about this. Is it true that for all A and B, okay, where B is big enough, okay, that N to the N plus A to the B is theta of N to the B? Okay? You say yes. How do we prove it?
If you plot the B's on both sides, you have N plus A equal to K's.
Okay, first of all, we want to prove a theta. What do we have to do? Big picture. Prove big O and big omega, right? So those are two separate things, right? So now, which do you want to prove? O or theta? Or omega first? O, okay. So let's prove O. So how do we know that N plus A, where A to the B, how do we know, what does that mean? We want to compare, is this true? How does this compare to C times, okay, N to the B?
You want to know that this is always bigger. Right? Is that true? Okay. How would we write that out?
Okay, convince me of this. Okay? Let's try to convince ourselves of this. Okay?
Let's try a special case of A, which is 1. Okay? Can we convince ourselves of this?
The same as n to the b plus 1 to the b.
This is what? You want to say this is equal to? So it's, you want to write this down as n to the b plus 1 to the b. That would make it very easy to prove that there's a problem with that. It's not work. It doesn't write. Okay? What is n plus 1 to the b? Yeah?
I would say c is just any constant, right? So we could say c is something like, so say take the c into the b, to its b root.
So c has to be a function of b, is what you're saying, first of all. Is that what you're saying? Well, let's try to prove something simpler here. Let's just go very simple. Apply it specially. Is it true that n plus 1 squared, is that made all of n squared? Why is that? Convince me of this.
Yeah?
I multiply it out. I think that's, okay, plus 2n plus 1. Okay? So this is going to be what? Okay? How would we write, you say n squared is a dominating factor. Okay? That would be one way to write it, and that's the right way to think about it. If I wanted to be rigorous, how can I prove that n squared is a dominating factor? I claim that this is going to be big, less than or equal to 3n cubed. Somebody, n squared. Someone believe that? Okay. And so certainly this is going to be theta of n squared. If this is less than 3n cubed, it's also greater than or equal to 1n cubed. Someone believe that? I mean, no, 3n squared is less than or equal to 1n squared. Right? So doesn't this prove that this is theta of n squared? For this particular value, you know, for the value of a equals 1 and b equals 2? Does everyone believe that? What about in general? Let's say that I have n plus 1 to the b. What bounds do I know? How does this relate to? Can you give me some bounds now? And b is a constant, remember. What do we know that it's greater than or less than here? It's certainly true that this is still going to be greater than n to the b. And this is certainly still going to be less than or equal to what? B times, or maybe b plus 1 times n to the b? Someone believe that? Okay? So if b is a constant, then this is going to be true. Does everyone believe that? Okay? And now I have to play similar games where nothing else happens when you replace 1 with 2 or 3. The bounded constants are presumably going to change a little bit. But the basic argument is still the same. Does everybody sort of believe that? Anybody skeptical and want to see it? Okay. So yes, so I argue that in fact, you know, adding a little bit of slop here, a constant amount, doesn't change it. Okay? And that this is true for all exponents, you know, for b equals 1, 2, 3, 1.6, yeah. Yeah? Well, what you're saying now is, what if I have a large b? How many terms are there? Again, remember, to a certain extent, asymptotic is the art of being sloppy.
Okay.
What is n plus 1 to the b? What is that going to be for larger values than b equal to 2? What's it going to be for b equals 3? What is n plus 1 to the 3? Okay. Maybe we want to multiply that out. What is it?
me this is complicated, okay? I don't know what it is without doing the calculation. But I do know the first term is going to be x cubed, right? What is the second term going to be? Something times n squared, right? Plus something times n, plus something times 1. Does everybody agree with that? Okay, that much I know. Okay, exactly what the constants are. Let's say I don't know, but I don't have to know. I do know that the largest one of these things is order n cubed. This dominates all the others. So I could just say, look, this dominates a constant number of other things. There's at most b other terms here, right? Does everyone agree that there are b plus 1 terms here for any given b? So therefore, this has got to be less than or equal to b times n cubed. I mean, b times, you know, 3 times, or 4, 3 plus 1, times n to the b. Now, you might be able to argue something smaller for this constant than b plus 1, but I don't see any point to. Okay? If b is a constant, a constant times n to the b is still theta of n to the b. I haven't lost anything. Okay? Any questions? Okay? You could probably analyze it more tightly, but I don't see the point. Okay? Any questions? Okay, good. Any questions about the big O notation or anything like that?
Okay? It's important that you figure these kind of things out. The real reason why we're going to be doing this, why we care about this, is this dominance relation. Okay? Basically, by doing our big O notation, certain things happen to be true. It is certainly the case that n squared is not theta n. Okay, there's a difference between n squared and n. Okay, that is a difference between a quicksort algorithm and a linear time algorithm. There's a difference between n squared and n. There is not a difference between n squared and 5n squared, as far as we're concerned. We're ignoring those constants, okay? Because the running time of an algorithm, if it runs on a machine that's 5 times faster, the algorithm runs 5 times faster. Do we care? No. Okay? We're interested in what happens for big N. What can we predict? So if you look at the following exercise, this is kind of an interesting question, okay? If we take the major complexity classes, n to the n squared, n cubed, 2 to the n, 3 to the n, and you look at let's say that you have an algorithm that takes that many steps, and it executes 1,000,000 instructions per second. I don't remember if it's 1,000,000 or 1,000,000,000, whatever this table was worked at, it doesn't make any difference. But if you plot what is this, as a function of milliseconds, where let's say n is 10, notice that if you run any of these problems on a problem of size 10, it all takes an insignificant difference in time. What's the difference in half a second and 1,000,000th of a second? I don't know. I hit return, something happens. Okay? But what is the difference by the time n equals 20? On a function that grows exponentially, like 2 to the n, 3 to the n. Well, for n equals 20, the 3 to the n function is already taking an hour. Okay? The one that is running in order n is still taking a tiny fraction of a second. Okay? What's the difference? I can wait an hour. By the time I hit something of size 30, and I count how many milliseconds does it take if my algorithm takes 3 to the n milliseconds. Well, now I'm in years. By the time I get n equals 4, I'm into centuries. Okay? So the complexity difference. But let's look and see what happens. Okay? These big O time classes. Okay? For small values of n, it's deceptive. If you look at it, the 2 to the n algorithm was faster than the n to the fifth algorithm for n equals 10. But if you look a little bit later, by the time you get to 40, n to the fifth is still in minutes. And 2 to the n is in the order of days. Okay? So the complexity, the big gross breakdown of these complexity terms makes a big difference. When one function dominates another, time-wise, you start to see the difference on relatively small scales. Okay? Now, my plot here stopped for 50. Certainly, this should convince you that for exponential algorithms, an exponential algorithm is clearly going to take vastly longer than a polynomial time algorithm. Okay? But even for small inputs, where does an n squared algorithm start looking much different than an n algorithm? Okay? Suppose we could do 1,000,000 instructions per second. Right? Suppose we had an input of size n, 1,000,000. Okay? That will take 1 second for the linear time algorithm and 1,000,000 seconds for the quadratic algorithm. Okay? And 1,000,000 seconds is a lot of seconds. Okay? How many years or months is that? Okay? It's like 80,000 seconds a day, I believe. You know, 1,000,000 is a lot of days. Okay? So, you know, even on finer levels of complexity difference, when you get a large enough value of n, there's going to start to be big differences between f of n and a larger f of n. And this is sort of capturing this notion of dominance. Okay? We want our algorithm to be the, we want to design algorithms to be as low as possible in the worst case running time on this complexity scale. Okay? And again, it's because we notice there's this dominance relationship. We say one complexity class dominates the other if the ratio of the limits goes to zero. Okay? And that's why we think there's a difference between an n log n algorithm and an n algorithm, where I don't think there's a difference between a 2 times n algorithm and an 100 times n algorithm. Any questions? Okay? So it's important to understand why we're caring about this and what the meaning of this dominance relationship is. Any questions? Okay?
Very good. Okay, so how much time do we have? Okay, what I'd like to do now is to talk, spend probably the rest of class talking about logarithms. Because we're going to see logarithms again and again in this class. Okay? And my guess is a lot of people have seen logarithms and don't like them. Okay?
How many people feel comfortable working with logarithms? And how many people have some trepidation dealing with logarithms? Okay? A bunch of people. Okay? So you probably saw logarithms in 214. You probably saw this binary search. Teacher said it was log n, something like that, and you didn't know where the log came from necessarily. So what are these logs and where do they come from? The most important thing to know is the definition. Okay? The logarithm is, by definition, the inverse exponential function, which simply means that b to the x equals y, that equation is the same as saying x equals log base b of y. Okay? Or equivalently, let's just look at it on the, again, the equation is not that complicated. It's simpler if you're looking at it. Here's what our equation was. The relationship between logarithms and exponents is that a base 2 logarithm has the property that 2 to the log base 2 of n is equal to n, right? So this is what we mean. So what does that mean? If I say 2 to the y is equal to n, can I solve for the y in this equation? How do I solve for y in this equation? If I have an equation 2 to the y equals n. Anyone remember their algebra? How do I solve for this? Yeah, I'm going to do it. Take log base 2 of both sides. What's the log base 2 of 2 to the y? And what's the log base 2 of n? Log base 2 of n. Okay? See where this equation now came from? Log base b, you know, so somehow does that relate? Yeah, I mean, it had x and y in different places. Okay? But basically what the log function is given a number, the log base b is how far do I have to raise b till I get to n? Okay? Does everybody sort of see that? This is the definition you have to know. If you can't remember that definition, it's hopeless. Okay? But it's not that complicated a definition, right? See the definition? Okay?
So what are some interesting consequences of this? Okay? We agree that something like b to the n, let's say I plot the function b to the n, b to the x, as a function of x. Let's say b is 2, 2 to the x. Does the function 2 to the x grow quickly or slowly? Quickly, right? It doubles every year. Sort of like with the internet stocks, what people thought was going to happen, right? The stock doubled every year. After 10 years, what's 2 to the 10? What's 2 to the 10? 1,000, okay, ish. What is 2 to the 20? What is that? 1,000,000-ish. Okay? And what is 2 to the 30? That's 1,000,000,000. No, I know, it's more than that. 2 to the 30 is what? Okay? 2 to the 30 is what? That is 1,000,000,000, right? That's 1,000, okay, wait. 2 to the 30, you're right. 2 to the 30 is 1,000,000,000. It's 1,000,000,000. Okay, you're right. Okay? But it's growing very rapidly, right? 1,000,000,000, we're now talking real, you know, real, a nice number. 2 to the 40 is, you know, 1,000,000,000,000. Okay? And what is 2 to the 1, what is 2 to the 100? Larger than probably anything, that's actually about, I think, 10 to the 40 or something like that. That's probably larger than any number you can conceive of. I mean, that you can come up with an atom in the universe or something like that. Maybe it's 2 to the 100, maybe it's 2 to the 200. But I mean, a small number, 2 to the small number gets you out of the realm of thinking about it. So exponentiation, the function 2 to the x, grows extremely quickly, right? What does that mean for logarithms? Okay? Let's plot the log function. Okay? Suppose we plot the log base 2. Here's n. Here's log base 2 of n. What is the value of 2 at n equals 2? What is log base 2 of 2? Okay, that's complicated. How do I work that thing out? 2 to the x is equal to 2, right? That's what the log function is asking me, right? So what is that value? 1. Now I understand it, okay? What is it for 4? What is the log base 2 for 4? What is the log that I have to raise 2 to get to 4? 2. Seems to be growing linearly so far, okay? But what happens when I keep going? What is it going to be at, let's say, 6? Don't give me a rough idea. It's going to be more than 2, but less than 3, right? It's growing very slowly. How slowly? What are we up to by the time we get to 1,000,000? Okay, 1,000,000. 20-ish. Okay? So yes, this goes to infinity, but it goes extremely slowly. So if you have an algorithm that is taking log n steps as a function of an input of size n, you're doing very, very well, right? The number of steps is going to grow very slowly compared to the number of the size of the book, the size of your input. This is why binary search was such a great thing. You can go through a Manhattan telephone book. How many people are in the Manhattan telephone book? 1,000,000-ish. Okay, it doesn't matter if it's 1,000,000 or 2,000,000 or 10,000,000. If you do binary search, how many steps is it going to take? The log of 1,000,000-ish are about 20 steps, right? What if they double the size of the Manhattan phone book? So now let's consider it being 2,000,000. It's now 4,000,000. That's one extra step to kill those 200 names in your search. Okay? So that is why we care about logarithms. Okay? Is that logarithms grow slowly. Okay? Any questions? The other question is, thing to know, is that logarithms, the way to think about logarithms, the way I think of a log, it's because from the binary search example. The log of n Another way to think of what log of n is how many times do I do halving till I get down to 1? Right? So suppose I start out with n things, and I have it, that I have, you know, divided it by 2. How many times do I have it till I get down to 1? The answer is log n. Okay? And that's one reason why where logs come in. Or equivalently, what happens if I want to start out with 1? How many times do I have to double it till I get to n? This is sort of what happens in your binary trees, remember? You start out with a node of height 1. How many tree of height 1? How many nodes do you have? 1. Double it, how many nodes do you have? 3, but that might as well be 2. Okay? Double it again, how many nodes do you have? Okay, now you've got 8, or the last level is 4, but now you've got a total of 7. Okay? Increasing the height of my tree by 1 doubles the number of nodes, right? So what is the height of my tree as a function of the number of nodes? How many times do I have it until I get down to this? If my tree has n nodes total, I have a full binary tree with n nodes. How many times, how high is that tree? Basically, it means how many times do I have to have it until I get down to 1? That is the log base 2 of n, plus or minus 1. Okay? Yeah. That determines the tree is always balanced. What if the tree is almost always balanced, for goodness sake? Okay? Let's say it's come close to it. Okay? This logging, this having is a big, powerful thing. You know, what is the maximum? Suppose I give you a tree of height 2 log n. Okay? How many nodes can you fit in a tree of 2 log n? Height 2 log n. Okay? 2 times log n. How many nodes can you fit in a tree of height 2 times log n? Well, how many? Okay. We agree that it's doubling every time the height. What is 2 to the 2 log n? Okay. Can anyone write this in a way that makes it easier to do? Yeah. Well, how would I write this? What if I wrote it as 2 to the log n plus log n? Would that be an acceptable way to write the same thing? What is this? Is that easier to say? What is this? Okay, how do I get 2 to the n log n? If I had 2 to the log n times 2 to the log n, what is 2 to the a times 2 to the b? Is that 2 to the a plus b? That's an important thing to remember. Okay? So what is 2 to the n log n plus 2 to the log plunk n plus f log n? That's 2 to the log n times 2 to the n, right? So that's in fact n times n, or logs, or n squared. Right? So now a tree of height 2 log n, twice as big, now accommodates n squared nodes. That's a lot of nodes, right? So even if it's kind of sparse, you can need a lot of them. You know, even, you know, twice as big is not that much bigger. Okay? That's because logs grow slowly, exponents grow fast. Okay? Any questions here? That's going to drive a lot of what we do in here. Exponents grow fast, logs grow slowly. Any questions? Okay.